For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. Telling it as it is, this is the Dean Mackin Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome. Hope you're having a terrific day, a terrific morning, or if you can't get to sleep over in America, don't stay up. We've got a couple of hours to keep you occupied and then some. Every time I'd go to do an opener, I hear some stories in the news that make me just want to talk about those. So I'll probably change my entire opener after I tell you about some of the guests we got coming up this hour. Thank you, Chris Smith, doing a absolutely world-class job as always. Our guests today include political commentator and regular contributor at TNT, Charlie Downs, techguide.com.au's Stephen Fenwick, who has just come back from the Apple conference in the US, and some amazing technology that I think is absolutely game-changing and literally could be used with applications ranging from kids playing games to you watching movies to how you experience phones in the future and possibly the future of phones themselves. Apple do tend to reinvent things and do it very well. Also, some interesting military application with this level of technology, and I'll be talking to Stephen Fenwick about that and his thoughts on it. We'll be talking to Senator Holly Hughes on a range of topics, and ex-Liberal MP and Democratic Labor Party guy, ex-radio guy too, Bernie Finn, who I'm a big fan of, is very outspoken on social media, not unlike myself, but has massive following, and a guy that got sacked from the Liberal Party in Victoria. Why? Because he stands up for unborn babies. He's that guy, and I appreciate him very much. We'll be talking to him. A couple of predictable things. In fact, I had it written on my sheet the other day, and I wish I had said it. I missed it. Tucker sued. Yep. Rupert. I like to call him Rupert, not Rupert. Rupert, you know, Murdoch, is looking to sue Tucker Carlson for breaching his contract. They don't like. He's embarrassed them, literally embarrassed them. It was 98.3 million views on his episode one on Tucker on Twitter. It's now up to 98.5 million in the 5 minutes that I've been on air, and it will be well over 100 million by the time I finish. Typically, he would get a few million views when he was on their platform. And certainly it is now a joke. Rupert, you are absolutely a joke. You know you're a joke. And you didn't want him to talk, but he wants to talk. And it's not the same. It's different. He could argue that this is a podcast. That was a show. I say this is the new mainstream media. And Rupert Murdoch is lamestream media. But they're all part of their, apparently, part of their lawsuit with Dominion voting machines. And they demanded that Tucker Carlson be stood down as a part of that settlement nearing $1 billion. But yeah, there he is about to hit 100 million views just on his episode one. And you need to look at that if you haven't already, I would imagine. With 100 million views, many of you already have. Yeah. The other thing I'd like to talk about is with Donald Trump. Absolutely, they just don't give up, do they? Talk of a second indictment. We know it's all BS. Nothing is stuck. It's a lot of mudslinging on Teflon. And people in the mainstream, I've got to learn my own stuff, lamestream media, eating it up, buying it. And, of course, those of us who know better, not tuning into them anymore. I personally, not only did I unplug the TV aerial at my house when my son, well, just before he was born, 14 years ago, almost 15 years ago, I removed the wall plate. I cut the coax and I bolted it back onto the wall, and the wife said, oh, the TV doesn't work anymore. My response, I'll get right onto that. 15 years later, nearly, no intention of doing that, absolutely no intention, and I have a child who is very mentally stable, who realizes there are only two sexes, who realizes that the lamestream media is divisive and full of shit, and sorry to use that word, but they are. And he knows. And that's what happens when you shield a child from the BS that goes on in the mainstream media. Originally, I was going to open with what's happening with house prices and some places where you actually can afford to live, but I'll do that next hour instead. But you hear this terrific stuff in the news and you just have to go with it because it's current. Also, I'll be talking, when I do talk to Holly Hughes, Senator Holly Hughes, a bit later, she was talking to Chris Smith yesterday about a case here in Australia where a mother was found guilty of the murder of four of her children, and evidence has come out recently that proves that those children had a genetic disorder. And there is recent news today that quite simply, not only was there insufficient evidence about what did kill them, but quite frankly, that the doctor who testified and provided the evidence that probably tipped the scales against her wasn't qualified to give evidence about what he did. I've got more on that, but we won't talk about that until we indeed talk to Senator Holly Hughes. Hope you're enjoying listening to TNT. I know you are. And do you think that we're doing a good job? Let us know, because if you don't, why not leave us a negative review? But I know you do. So get on there, send us a positive review or a comment on Facebook, Gab or Getter. Help us get the word out to cover the biggest topics of our time on TNT Radio.
Keeping the commitment 24-7.
I come to you for facts. I really appreciate what you and your team do.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
They're nothing but positives because we're telling the truth, and that's what happens when you tell the truth. You will be rewarded. You will be vindicated long-term. High-level international negotiations are between Australia, the Ukraine, and the United States over whether to deliver dozens of retired Australian FA-18 Hornets to support Kyiv's war against Russia. We've got TNT's own Jeremy Beck for details. Hey, mate.
G'day, Dean. Yes, Kyiv officials, though, have assured the White House that it would not deploy the second-hand Australian warplanes into Russian airspace if dozens of the retired FA-18s are transferred to Ukraine. The high-level international negotiations now taking place could lead to Australia's largest ever single transfer of military equipment to a foreign power. So it's a huge deal if it does go ahead. The Royal Australian Air Force's fleet of Boeing Classic Hornets were retired in late 2021 after almost 40 years of service. Now, after the FA-18s were retired, Texas-based company RAVN Aerospace paid a deposit to purchase 41 of the multi-role fighters currently housed at RAAF Base Williamtown, which is just north of Newcastle in New South Wales. RAVN Aerospace is reportedly willing to on-sell the Hornets to Ukraine, but first requires approval from the White House, given the fourth-generation fighters have American intellectual property. Australia's Defence Department would also have to formally change its contract with RAVN, given the end user is currently listed as being in the United States, not Ukraine. So I think, Dean, this is the last deal the world needs to escalate the war in Ukraine, but it's a possibility.
I couldn't agree more, mate. Here they are again, busting their own dams, blaming it on the Russians. And here they are now promising that they won't deploy these airplanes into Russian airspace. And there was even talk of a dirty bomb attack on Russian soil. Could you imagine their response should that be the case? So my question is, do you think that they'd stick to their word and not deploy the airplanes into Russian airspace?
I don't believe a word of the Ukraine's Kyiv regime at all. I think it's a real danger. Already we are seeing interventions by Kyiv forces well beyond its borders, well into Russian territory, drones, all sorts of things that are killing Russians. So why would they not deploy them? Why would they stick to the word? It's a real danger. If we send those aircraft and they do end up breaking their word, which they surely will, we would have blood on our hands.
Mate, we've got Nord Stream, we've got the bridge, we've got the dam, and here they are again promising that they won't do something. I absolutely don't believe them for a second, nor do you. So why would Australia risk escalating this Ukraine war?
It's a good question, Dean, but the problem is we've got so many people just totally blinded by propaganda that the Russians are so evil and we must do everything, we must put everything into this war. I mean, you have coalition frontbenchers, Simon Birmingham and Andrew Hastie, egging our government, our Labor Party government along. You know, you must commit more weapons towards Kyiv to help them beat the Russians. This is the kind of nonsense that we're getting from the so-called opposition in the coalition. So, of course, with that kind of propaganda, with the propaganda in the mainstream media, too many people bought the lies. But I think now that we're seeing what we're seeing with Tucker Carlson and more mainstream media just on the nose and more people turning into TNT radio, of course, I think it's going to be very hard to maintain that propaganda.
I think you've hit the nail on the head, as always. That's TNT Radio's own Jeremy Beck. He'll be joining us this time next hour. And up after the break, we've got Charlie Downs, who is a political commentator and regular contributor to Talk TV. And he's going to tell us a whole bunch of stuff that we need to know right here on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Patrick Henningsen.
A parent in Utah complained about the content in the Bible, what they called pornography in the Bible.
Right.
And they were petitioning to get this book removed from elementary and middle schools in the state's second largest school district. They said the parent wasn't really upset about the alleged pornography, but rather the bad faith process by which the books can be pulled by the state's public schools. So what happened here, apparently a state law was passed last year which streamlined the process by which pornographic or incest material can be removed. So hedonism, prostitution, incest, genital mutilation, etc. And you'll no doubt find that all in the Bible, said the parent. And so I thank the Utah legislature and Utah Parents United, I guess as an activist group, for making this bad faith process so much easier and way more efficient. Now we can ban all books and you don't even need to read them or be accurate about them. So it's slightly ironic here. So it looks like they have been successful in getting it yanked from the Utah schools.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing. Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Info at your beck and call.
An earful of information.
Driving the news cycle.
Just tell your smart device to play
TNT Radio.
And welcome back to the program. Just funny, I'm looking out the window at a magpie trying to eat a McDonald's chip that's been there for 4 weeks. It looks exactly like it did 4 weeks ago when I dropped it. And it's amazing. If they use the same preservatives in the Egyptian pharaohs 2,000 or more years ago, we'd be able to have a conversation with them. It works pretty well. Our next guest is darn right impressive. He is a political commentator, a regular contributor to Talk TV, LotusEaters.com, and the Wolves of Westminster. He's also an energetic proponent of the UK's traditionalist movement, defining traditionalism as a way of life and not merely a political worldview. Charlie Downs is a ghostwriter, a public speaker, and a social media site manager, and when not in the political arena, hones himself in combat sports, including the best, it is the best, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. If you don't watch UFC, that you're missing out, absolutely. Find Charlie Downs under the handle CF Downs on Getter, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And his website is CF Downs. That's Downs with an ES.UK. We've got him on the line. How are you, my friend?
Hi, Dean. Thanks for having me on. That was a very, very kind introduction.
Well, it was very accurate and very impressive, mate. The Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. How long have you been doing that?
Oh, I've been at that for about 2.5 years now, and I absolutely love it. It is an addictive sport, and I mean, I've always loved martial arts. I did taekwondo for 10 years. I've got a black belt in that, so just trying to get as many skills under my belt as possible, really.
Yeah, it's one of those things, and for those listening, it's not just a good physical discipline, but a mental discipline. I've got a son who's not yet 15, who's a black belt in karate, and as of next year, he qualifies. He's old enough to do Brazilian jiu-jitsu and kickboxing, and I just think what it does for a person and just the way you think, it makes you a better, stronger person who I think can not only speak well for themselves, but it changes your psychology, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, cultivates discipline, cultivates that kind of warrior mentality, right? Turns you into a much stronger and more powerful presence in a room.
It does. Somebody that doesn't have to take other people's BS, but always the last people to resort to physical violence are those who are most capable of it. It makes you a much stronger person mentally and somebody who can defend others who haven't done that. And that's what you're doing, mate. You are defending conservatives. You are, in fact, you're defending everybody. Only the conservatives, of course, seem to realise that you're doing that.
Quite right. Well, I like to think so. You know, I think there is a real need for, you know, strong and fearless voices in this movement, because conservatism, you know, when in this country, certainly when people say that they are a conservative, you become associated with the mainstream party, and they are the absolute opposite of conservatives, because what conservatism is it is a mindset of strength and propriety, standards, honor, courage, discipline, all of these things, in fact, that Brazilian jiu-jitsu cultivates, as it happens. But again, there is a real lack of strong voices, particularly in this country. Now, outside of the mainstream, there are many of us, but, you know, it's about breaking into that mainstream and showing the public that conservatism is the philosophy of good, disciplined, well-rounded, well-adjusted people.
Mate, the reason I spoke about that is because I see the tie-in between being strong mentally, being strong physically, and being strong in a political sense. And it all comes down to good parenting, to family. And family values are something that I've seen over decades just fly out the windows. I mean, we've still got plenty of good parents, and I'm guarantee 99% of the people listening qualify as that. We've seen some terrible parents. So the question is, mate, what's the state of the family in Britain across the board these days?
Oh, well, I couldn't agree more with what you just said. Now, the state of the family in Britain, I mean, I think there are many out there who still have the privilege of what we might call a traditional upbringing. I mean, that's what I had, where there is a great focus on manners, propriety, standards, and all these things. But that is disappearing. And I fear for the next few generations, because, you know, I'm 21 years old, and I don't want to speak badly of my peers. But I look around, you know, I've been at university for the last 4 years, and I look around at some of the people, you know, I've been surrounded by, and I think these are not people that will make, you know, anything near good fathers and mothers. You know, these are not people who have the right priorities in mind, because they are more concerned with filling their children's heads with platitudes of justice and equality than actual, again, cultivating standards and virtue.
Mate, I couldn't agree more. I've considered that you are who you are pretty much by the time that you are 5 years of age. And again, that comes down to positive influences. It comes down to good parenting. And I don't care if that's a child, a human child, or a dog. There's no such thing as a bad breed of dog. There are particular breeds of dogs that bad people like to train because they have certain physical characteristics that suit their negative mental outlook or perspective. And so there's no such thing as a bad kid. There's no such thing as a bad dog, only bad parents. And again, this is something that I like the guy, you'd be aware of him, Andrew Tate. He's somebody who I encourage my son to watch on YouTube, because males, over time, we have been diminished. We're taught to hate ourselves. We are toxic. We are misogynist. We are all these things. Yet other words like misandrist, people don't even understand what that is. And it can happen across the board, but I say strong people from good families make tremendous role models. And I like Andrew Tate, and the fact that he is like you, he takes care of himself physically. He is into martial arts, and again, things that make you stronger and more confident. And then you can pass that on to others, especially others who may have had some, may have been lacking a little bit in the parental department as they were growing up, because they didn't enjoy such things as I've just discussed.
Yeah, well, two quick things there. I mean, the first, I couldn't agree more that people are just who they are. You know, by the time they're five, I think you're right. Now, the left kind of have a monopoly on this idea of, you know, that the line sort of accept people for who they are and this sort of thing. Now, the left have a monopoly on that idea, and the way they think about it is wrong, because the way they think about it is you shouldn't push people. You shouldn't expect things of people, because to expect things of people is to, you know, put them in a box and to, you know, to judge them and to not allow them to be authentically themselves. But actually, if you truly care about somebody, if you love somebody, it is your duty to push them towards, you know, what they could be. And I think the right needs to start embracing that kind of message, that actually, you know, we are who we are. There's no point lying to ourselves and kidding ourselves about what we can be and what we can achieve. But actually, we have a potential, and it is our duty as individuals, as countrymen, you know, in my country, as Englishmen, to achieve that potential. And the second thing there on Andrew Tate, now I think it's no surprise that somebody like Tate has emerged given the climate where men are demonized merely for being men. Strength and courage is something that is viewed as a vice and something that is dangerous, toxic, of course, is what we're always told. But on the other hand, I do think that Andrew Tate represents, he doesn't quite, the way I would put it, he doesn't quite represent masculinity. He represents machismo, the kind of the girls, the bling, yeah. You know, the money, yeah, understanding yeah. of. Whereas true masculinity is a far more subtle, far quieter thing, where it is about, you know, a kind of almost toiling through the night without anybody watching, expecting nothing for it, you know, no conspicuous consumption, just cultivating that inner strength. And I do think that Andrew Tate, whilst I think he's shifting towards that now since he's come out of prison, I do have concerns about his messaging, because I do think that the kind of conspicuous consumption, you know, flashy bling, girls, cars and so on, I don't think that's quite the right message for young men, because young men need to understand that that is not what makes them a virtuous man.
Yeah, true. I mean, it's, you're 100%. I mean, I get what he's doing. I mean, the fact that, you know, he might be driving a Ferrari or a Bugatti and he doesn't even care, it costs him his pocket change. It would make most males who, even ones who I think are doing pretty well from an economic standpoint. But I think what he's doing is going so opposite what they're doing to males that somewhere in the middle he's trying to level it out. I do get everything you said, and absolutely it's correct. But I'd rather someone be over the top than just kind of coming back to where we were, because we're so far left of where we need to be. Someone needs to be to the right of it. And, you know, at the end of the day, if my son wants to go all out and work that hard, that he's, not that I'm suggesting he works hard, Andrew Tate, he can get a Bugatti Veyron or whatever, it's good. But at the end of the day, we've got so few people who are pushing the male, the young male perspective, but somewhere in the middle of where he is and where he needs to be, I think is perfect. You also said that post his incarceration, he's toned it down a bit. He's been a benefactor of people and charities for quite some time, but he's never spoke of it. And I did find in that interview that he did recently, I think it was on the BBC with that woman, yeah, who I think he absolutely demolished. He did start talking of that, and she made a point of it, and it was probably a good point.
Yeah, well, I thought he was very strong in that BBC interview, it has to be said. Now, of course, I hope it goes without saying, if it came down to it, I would prefer to sit down and have a conversation with Andrew Tate than with one of the, you know, sort of bleach-haired, stick-necked, stick-wristed, chinless losers that we see walking the streets of our towns and cities in the modern day. Because, you know, I mean, what do they have to say? Again, merely parroting platitudes from state and corporate-sponsored causes like social justice, climate, equality, and so on.
Yeah, mate, you know, one thing I think that we need to teach our kids, and I don't know how you do it, I think you're either, I don't know, you can tell me. I used to say intuition, you either have it from, you know, from birth, it's strong or it's weak. You know, I know some people who you would technically classify as not overly intelligent, whose station in life is not overly, you know, impressive, but they are intuitively off the scale. So it doesn't tend to be something that necessarily goes hand in hand with education. It may be something you're born with or not, but if we could understand intuition and trust people and learn to judge who will be good and who will be bad before we make decisions at the ballot box, and very, very often, 99.9 times out of 100, I'll get it right. I got it wrong with Boris Johnson, and I only became aware of him as the kind of weird, eccentric guy with the crazy hair who couldn't drive for shit on Jeremy Clarkson's Top Gear show. I mean, that's how I became aware of him. And I thought he'd probably make a good prime minister. Not that I ever thought he would be one, but it turns out he was pretty dreadful. So intuition, it can always do with a bit of honing, could it not?
Oh, yeah. Well, Boris Johnson, just one of the most disappointing prime ministers of our time. But I think, you know what, you've touched on something really important there, I think, because in the modern world, we have this understanding of knowledge that the only knowledge, the only truth that matters is this kind of objective truth, scientific truth. Whereas actually, you know, as you said, I'm a strong traditionalist, and tradition is an understanding of the fact that actually there is such a thing as subjective truth. And I start to sound like a leftist when I start to sound like a postmodernist when I say things like that. But actually, it's true. because intuition is something that is real, and that's something that we've forgotten in the modern world. I mean, again, in my country, you know, you look back through our history, and it is the story of people, you know, they're not acting on the basis of what's scientifically, rationally provable. No, this is about sentiment and feeling, the sense of the thing. And actually, a lot of the time, you'll find that you're better off going on your intuition than you are going on, you know, the data, the evidence, and so on, because, well, it's an instinct that's been baked into us over millions of years of evolution. So why wouldn't we trust that?
Yeah, I tend to do very well with political bets here in Australia, with the exception of the last American election, where I may have lost $3,500 Australian dollars, 2,000 mules. I still think I was right. But anyway, we won't get into that. We won't get into things we can't prove. But, mate, again, I mean, I hate the term progressive. I think progressives are regressive. I think traditionalism is fantastic. And if we can't, most of the things we had in place that these progressives would have us remove were measures we had in place solely because of intuition, because we knew if we dropped those measures, what would happen. And we're seeing that happen over the last few decades. And again, we're shouted down should we mention them. And I'm not even mentioning what they are, but I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about on a range of topics.
Absolutely. Now, you know, progressivism, I mean, everyone's in favor of progress. It's just how you define it. Now, progressives in the mainstream, self-identified progressives, what they actually want, you know, for all of their platitudes of social justice and equality and all this, go to somewhere like London, go to somewhere like Brussels. What they represent is the flattening out of all culture, the deadening of culture, the glass and steel of London, of Berlin, Brussels, New York, you know, Tokyo, and so on. Just, you know, places that have no soul, no identity, no meaningful character. Because actually what they want, because that is what equality is at the end of the day. It is the reducing of everything down to the lowest common denominator, where, you know, there is no aesthetic experience. There is no texture to the thing, no personality. You see what I'm saying? It's that there's just this drive towards the flattening of everything.
Yeah, mate, and it's conscious, it's on purpose, and it's something we need to look at. And I'm going to be racist, I'm sorry, but I enjoy talking to you Poms more than anybody. I really do. Every time I talk to someone from Britain, it's just a very refreshing, very upbeat and very energetic interview, mate, and I thank you for it, and I pray that you'll come back on the program on a regular basis, because I'd love to talk to you again and again.
I would absolutely love to. It sounds great. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, everyone. That's Charlie Downs, and we will talk to him again imminently. You're listening to TNT Radio. We're going to be back with Stephen Fenwick, who's just been over in America looking at all the new Apple stuff, and I'm hanging to find out what he's found after this.
All right, let's get this underway for our first order of business.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Former US Vice President Mike Pence, who loyally served under Donald Trump for 4 years, has announced he's challenging his former boss for the Republican presidential nomination. There are reports a second indictment against Trump is imminent, this time relating to his alleged mishandling of classified documents. And Fox News is reportedly moving to sue former host Tucker Carlson for breaching his contract after he launched his new show on Twitter this week.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, there's Fox News. They've chucked all of their toys out of the cot. They're upset because they only had a few million views, even though they had the best guy. And he was way ahead of anyone else, Tucker Carlson. And now that he's doing his thing on Twitter, thank you, Elon Musk, and getting literally, well, it's not even 10, it's like 30 times as many views on episode one of Tucker on Twitter. Yeah, they're chucking their toys out of the cot. And Rupert, I don't call him Rupert, Rupert, like from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, he's upset and he's a pauper. He's an absolute pauper if you want to compare him to the likes of Elon Musk, who I do believe is again the world's richest man, who could buy and sell Rupert with his, you know, he's, what do you call it, the spare change that you've got for the people that work for you? Yeah, well, you could do that. I absolutely think that is the case. I'll tell you what, you're going to need a whole bunch of money if you get onto this new Apple headset. It is, but it's bloody terrific. And there's nobody else on the planet that I would talk to other than this next fella. His name is Stephen Fenwick from techguide.com.au. He is the editor-in-chief, and he's one of Australia's most respected tech journalists. I call him the celebrity tech guy because when I thought, who am I going to get on my program to talk tech, there was nobody else. It was only Stephen Fenwick. Hey, Stephen Fenwick, how are you?
G'day, Dean. How are you doing?
All the others fade into significance, my friend. I don't even know who they are. Mate, you must have been hobnobbing it with a bunch of those big YouTube guys such as yourself over in the US at this Apple thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference. Yeah, there was a few heavy hitters over there, mate. A lot of US tech journos that I bump into at these events. And I was representing, mate, for Australia over there. And yeah, interesting, and the rumors were leading up to what they eventually did announce. So the rumors were actually right this time. With they not only announced all the updates for your iPhone and iPad and your Mac and everything, so all the software updates, but the hardware, the product that took everyone's attention was that new Apple Vision Pro headset. And it is, I actually was one of the first in the world to actually try it. I had a 30-minute demo on it. Wasn't allowed to take any photos, wasn't allowed to shoot any video, but I have written about my experience on Tech Guide. And I've got to say, I was truly amazed. It is an incredible product that is, I'm excited at what is possible with this device. And appropriately, it was unveiled at a developers conference. So this has got its own operating system. It's a standalone computer, and it's running the Vision OS software. So you can just imagine developers are climbing over each other to get to create content, to create apps and experiences for this headset, because it's truly remarkable.
I'm one of these guys. I mean, I love tech. You know I love tech, and I don't mind spending a bit of money. I've told my son if he does well at school, yep, I'll buy him good stuff. And he did. He topped his year last year. So when it came Christmas, he said, "Dad, I want an RTX 4080 Ti, which was about $2,500. And for people, yep, that don't know, that's a video card that goes in your computer, makes your games look a bit better, run faster. So I don't mind spending about $2,500. And he's got a couple of VR headsets, the HTC Vive and a better one, which I can't currently recall. Yep. But mate, this one has even got me thinking, wow, that's expensive. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, is it about $3,500 US?
US, yeah. So you do the conversion, I think it's about $5,300, wow, in Aussie dollars. And yeah, mate, it is expensive. And look, I don't think it's well out of the reach of your average customer. But you think about the customer, like your son, who's determined to get a better experience by spending a bit on that graphics card. You think about a lot of people wouldn't blink spending $5,000 to get have a good gaming experience, or a good if you're a creative professional to so that Photoshop and your video editing works faster. So people are going to spend money for an experience, and this is in that ballpark. And mate, this is, as I mentioned, a standalone computer. This is a computer on its own. It doesn't have to connect to your iPhone or your Mac. This is a computer in its own right. And it is the experience of it, how they've done it, and typical Apple, I've used plenty of VR in the past. And this is, they deliberately didn't use those letters, VR, AR. They deliberately didn't do that because it's more than that. Yes, it is a VR at one point. It could be augmented reality at another point. It's a spatial computer as well. So basically, the space in front of you is your desktop. So you can look at apps and what's amazing about it, your eyes are your mouse. So when you look at an app's icon, it highlights, and all you need to do to open it is to tap your index finger with your thumb. That's the mouse click. And wow, that's all, because there are cameras that are looking down. There are no silly controllers that you have to hold. It just looks at your gestures, and you can easily move windows around by simple gestures, scroll websites in midair that are in front of you, rearrange your windows. I was watching Avatar 2 in 3D. Look, it's like I was sitting in a cinema. They had this incredible, on Apple TV, they're going to have a video channel called Immersive Video. And there was a point there where I was sitting courtside at a basketball game, and then I was a ground level at the baseball. I was behind, wow, the net at a soccer match. And at that point, I'm a big sports fan.
Yeah.
I just said, that was shut up and take my money right now. If I could watch sport like that, I will buy this tomorrow. Because it was remarkable. It took me in those places. It's incredible.
People that have never had a VR, even a basic VR headset, you've got no idea how immersive it is. You forget you're not flying an actual plane. You forget you're not driving a car, all of that. Mate, this thing, it's like wearing a MacBook on your head. It's got the M2 chip. It's got the R1 graphics. And this is what blew me away. Now, anyone that's got a decent phone like a Samsung Galaxy S23 Ultra, the pixel density is mental. You don't see dots. You know, you just don't see them.
No.
Now, how much higher?
Yeah, there are two micro LED screens, and between them, there's 23 million pixels, which is more than your 4K TV. Your 4K TV has got about 8 million. So between the two little micro LEDs, there's 23 million pixels. And so it's so sharp, it'll probably come with a Band-Aid because you'll cut yourself. It's so sharp. So it is remarkable.
So your brain, your eyes would have no way of knowing that it's not real. It is literally about better than your eyes can probably pick up as far as the clarity,
Speaking of my eyes, I had to do a test beforehand. So because I wear glasses to read. Yeah. And they asked me about that. They said, well, here, what do you wear glasses? And I said, yeah, I do. And they tested my lenses, and what they did, they popped on these magnetic Zeiss lenses on, like, corrective lenses on top of the LED micro LED screens, so that I could see it perfectly. So that's a pre-purchase adjustment you can make, just like also measuring your head. Like there's a iPhone app that looks at your head and tells you the right band size, looks at your ears so that it can give you proper spatial audio as well. But the thing with this, though, and mate, I've used plenty of VRs, as you have. What happens with some VR headsets? Like, I've got the PlayStation VR, I've got the HTC Vive. You use them and you totally lose your orientation. Have you ever done that? You take them off and you're facing a totally different part of the room. You can see through the goggles. So you can actually see people around you. You can see objects. Like I put my glasses on the coffee table in front of me and I could easily reach out and grab it. It didn't distort the distance, so I could easily still do everything I needed to do. And there is a digital crown on the right-hand side of the front that allows you to dial in and out the level of immersion you want. So if you're looking at this photo, you can dial out the room and dial it back in again. So you can easily still stay in touch with your surroundings. And if there's people around you, you can also see them and talk to them as well.
That's impressive. And even, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that the front of this VR headset is a screen. So when you can see other people, it actually takes a photo of your face, recreates your face on this screen, and people can see that you're looking at them because it's not your face that they see. Yeah. It's a recreation digitally of your face. That is so impressive.
You are correct. That is. The eyes that peep through the front are actually a persona, a digital representation. Same thing if you make a FaceTime call. During the demonstration, someone called me on FaceTime. They were wearing the Vision Pro as well. So what you do when you first purchase it, you use, because on the outside is a 3D spatial camera. So you actually scan your face with it, similar to what you do with Face ID. And then when you call someone, it can represent your face digitally, and it can see your eyes. There's all cameras looking, sensors looking at your eye movements, of course, and it can even look down and see what your lips and your face is doing and recreate all your facial expressions digitally for the other people to look at. Because, you know, you're wearing a face mask. There's no camera for you to look in because you're wearing the goggles. So it digitally represents you to the other people on the FaceTime call. If someone calls you from their iPhone or an iPad or whatever, you still see their little video tile and normal video. But for yourself, they see this digital persona that looks real. You can tell it's not real, but it looks kind of real.
I mean, Apple's rewritten the rule book. I mean, if I was one of the other competitors in the VR or the AR headset world, I would be truly concerned. And for those listening, thinking that, you know, Australian dollars, $3,500 US, is out of my ballpark, what they have to understand is that this is going to be the future of what is normal, what is everyday in what, maybe a decade?
Yeah, I think sooner. I think you mentioned the other brands. I was talking to the boss of HTC in Australia, Thomas Dexmier, and I asked him a few months ago. I said, look, mate, how do you feel about Apple coming out with a VR headset? And his reaction surprised me. He said, mate, I can't wait for them to come out with a VR because everyone's going to be talking about VR. He, in fact, sent out a press release saying, welcome Apple to the world of VR. We look forward to creating better experiences for customers. So it's the rising tide lifts all boats scenario here where, and now that Apple's involved, it's validated the platform. And I think everyone in the industry is going to benefit.
Yeah, I think that's great that they've got that attitude because it's absolutely the case. Now, the only thing I typically don't like historically about Apple besides their pricing is they tend to make their products only work, not always, but, you know, I think it's fair to say that it works better or sometimes only with other Apple products. Is this thing going to be something that you can plug in to a PC and play your Steam games and do all that kind of stuff?
No, I'd say not. No, it is a standalone system. So I'm surprised that you didn't require an iPhone or an iPad or anything. It could work on its own. So I can't say unless the Steam has an app that works directly on the system. So if that's the case, I wouldn't be surprised if someone's developing a games platform so that it will work on the Vision Pro. But I don't think there will be any scenario where you're plugging it into another PC at all. It is a standalone and with a pretty powerful computer on board. It's got the M2 and the R1. So it's got a fair bit of grunt that should be able to handle all those top-end games as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, for those thinking it's expensive, it's actually not that bad value for money because you are basically wearing a top of the line iPad or even better still a MacBook on your head and the battery sits in your pocket so you don't have all that extra weight. And, mate, just, you know, reaching out a little bit beyond what they're doing, I mean, this technology could have military applications or a spin-off of it because imagine you're a soldier. You know, you're seeing this augmented reality. You've got your LiDAR happening. It's tied in with your gun that will only fire when the crosshairs are lined up. I mean, this is augmented and VR reality has applications well beyond, you know, people sitting at home watching movies or kids playing games.
Yeah, we're already seeing it. You're right. It's not just, you think of VR and augmented reality, you think gaming, and that's only one tiny portion of VR and AR. There's already a use in a lot of industry. There is a lot. It's used a lot in training. Would you believe a lot of training for a lot of companies and like people like emergency services. And I've even heard there's a VR application for abattoirs. So for you to learn how to cut meat, there's a VR that HCC's developed, a VR experience that allows you to do that. And the controllers in your hand give you the same resistance as if you'd be cutting through a real piece of meat or it's like a real side of beef. That's just one example. Firefighters, they use it to train firefighters as well. So rather than you having to actually light a fire for a firefighter in training, it's all done virtually with the goggles as well. So many applications. And now that Apple's dipping their toe in this industry as well, you can expect to see many, many more. And a lot of, mate, you can only just wonder what is going to be available on this. You cast your mind back to the original iPhone. Who'd have thought, look at all the uses of your phone now with all the apps that can run on it. We're at the dawn of another era like this where I'm excited about what is possible with this thing. It's great. The demo I did was amazing, but you can only just imagine what they're going to come up with in the future.
Yeah, Stephen Fennick from techguide.com.au. I could talk to you all day, mate, but I've got to go. I thank you. You are a weekly contributor to our program, and we appreciate you more than you might imagine.
My pleasure, Dean.
Thank you, mate. And we'll be back after this to talk to Senator Holly Hughes.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
As I previously discussed here, over Memorial Day weekend, there were 53 people shot and 13 people killed in the city of Chicago. But these shootings were not committed by right-wing conservatives. They were street thugs, and the guns used were not AR-15 quote-unquote assault weapons, so the media for the most part took a pass. And here's another recent story that you won't be hearing much about, and it also involves the city of Chicago. According to WLS, two people had been charged after an attempted carjacking in which the victim shot and wounded one of the suspects. Police say the 24-year-old victim was approached by the two suspects, one of whom produced a handgun and fired. The victim returned fire and shot one of the suspects in the thigh. The victim is a valid concealed carry license holder. The two suspects were arrested. A 21-year-old and an 18-year-old have each been charged with attempted vehicular carjacking. Now, research shows that gun owners use their weapons to defend themselves over 1.5 million times a year, something the media will never tell you about. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
A new research by John R. Lott Jr., president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Public Choice, found evidence of around 255,000 excess votes, possibly as many as 368,000 for Joe Biden in six swing states, where Donald Trump lodged accusations of fraud. Biden only carries these states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, by a total of 313,253 votes. Excluding Michigan, the gap was 159,065. Courts have rejected challenges to the 2020 presidential vote, generally citing the lack of evidence that any alleged fraud would have altered the outcome in a particular state. Republican plaintiffs argued that since their observers couldn't watch the vote counts or were prevented from seeing other evidence, they couldn't provide such proof without investigations backed by subpoena power. Still, while some judges have agreed that irregularities occurred in 2020, they weren't willing to grant discovery in the absence of evidence that fraud could reverse the election results.
It's time to switch on
today's news talk radio.
Very entertaining.
Yeah. TNT.
And welcome back to the program. Get on the online chat, as many people have. Somebody was very impressed by my last guest or second last guest, Charlie Downs, and said get him back on the program. We'll certainly do that. Mark, my next guest, we got some great politicians out there and we get them all here on TNT Radio. It is Senator Holly Hughes. She was elected to the Senate of New South Wales following a successful career in communications, government affairs and consultancy and advocacy for rural and regional areas, because she's from Moree. She's one of the real people who knows the real problems that people face, not just in our cities, but out back. And that's the type of people we need here in power in this country. Senator Holly Hughes, how are you?
Good afternoon, Dean. How are you?
A pleasure to have you on the program. I heard you talking to Chris Smith several times, and I'm like, I have to get this woman on my program. She is wonderful and just the type of politician that we need in this country. So first of all, I like to say this to politicians as well as military people. Thank you for your service, because you do a terrific job. Now, I wasn't going to talk about Kathleen Folbig, but there's been some information come out today that not only was she incorrectly incarcerated and found guilty, but that wasn't just as a lack of evidence, but there is now evidence coming out that could lead to the medical evidence that was giving being incorrect and from somebody who wasn't qualified to give it.
Yeah, and look, it's really quite frightening how often you hear these cases, you know, as they go through particularly updated medical science and the way that they can study things now, how many times not only was, you know, evidence given that may not have been scientifically correct, it was deliberately misleading and made completely false claims. And, you know, I spoke about this with Smithy the other day. I've been listening to one of the podcasts about the new scientific developments in her case. And as a mum of three, you know, it was always to me just incomprehensible how you would go through having babies and then, you know, commit these horrific acts. And the babies were, you know, from 19 days to 19 months. It's a pretty big, you know, it's a spectrum of ages. It's not like they were all sort of under 3 months or anything. So it was just horrific to think that this woman might have spent 20 years in jail after being convicted of the most heinous of crime, but also dealing with this huge loss that she would feel. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be a compensation claim at some stage after it goes back to the courts. But, I mean, just horrific that this miscarriage of justice could occur.
It is. And, you know, I said yesterday to people, it's one thing to be convicted of, let's say you were incorrectly, you know, convicted of a bank robbery. You know, you wouldn't be too happy about it, but you could at least get on with your life to some extent. But when you've lost children and you don't get that opportunity to grieve as a mother or father would, because you've been accused of killing them, and the bulk of people around you would consider you guilty because they believe in our judicial system, never have been able to process that grief properly. I just hope that now that she is free and she's had her Kahlua and whatever it was that was going with that, I just hope that she can now grieve and recover. And as a mother, I mean, I know there's no coming back from that, but there's a process that you need to get to the other side of, and it needs to be unencumbered. And she's never enjoyed that.
No, it's just terrific. I mean, I honestly don't know how people get up the next day or any day after they've lost one child, but to have lost four would just be incomprehensible. And to not be able to grieve that, but also to, you know, she lost her marriage through it because her husband didn't believe she was innocent of the crime. So, you know, she really lost everything, but was lucky to have a couple of very close girlfriends stand by her. And, you know, that's just very lucky for her that she's got those friends still there.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, you could look at it from her perspective as well. So much support now. But, I mean, if I was her, I'd be thinking, that where were all of you lot? You know, where have you been over the last 20 years? It's because we've been trained to trust the experts. That's what we've been trained to do. And I won't get into other things with you, but, I mean, the last 3 years has told me to pick my experts. You know, I'll pick who my experts are, and I won't have you tell me mainstream media.
Well, it's extraordinary. You know, you and I would both know as people, I hope, are becoming more aware that there are agendas being pushed through, you know, media and people pushing their own agendas. And it's important that people still maintain their ability to critically think about something, to have a look at an issue and develop some of their own opinions within their own moral compass and their own world. But it's frightening how many people you see sort of just, and particularly those in the left, they're just led by the nose. And they, you know, nothing you say to them or any cogent argument will they even entertain, because they're just so focused on pushing whatever their ideological agenda is, and facts be damned.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, as being in the mainstream media, you know, for 12 years and someone who's been sacked for speaking the truth and being vindicated a couple of times, I like it here on TNT because we can ask questions we wouldn't otherwise ask. But I still won't ask questions of people who I respect in mainstream political parties because that answer, despite the fact it could be the best answer that you could ever hope for, could see them outed from their party. So there are certain things that I won't ask anyone of the Liberal Party, not because of you. You know where I'm going with that, and I don't want you to respond, but I have to, as being in the media, protect people who are in the mainstream political process, and by not asking them those questions, because we can't anymore. That is the way the media has turned.
Yeah, but it's also when you look at the social media. I mean, I've actually been having a bit of a message with an ABC journalist today. Someone last night, this event was a year ago.
Yeah.
And someone has put up on Twitter at 1 o'clock this morning a series of photos of me at an event, but it's where Linda Hurley, the Governor General's wife, was singing. And the look on my face is interesting. I have quite an expressive face. But someone shared these photos. And, you know, this journalist sent me a link to the Twitter. I deleted Twitter a little while ago. And, you know, I had a look at it and I said to him, it's hilarious. But this event was a year ago. You know, what is the point they're trying to make? But, you know, it shows clearly, particularly those of us from a more conservative background, we live rent-free in some of these lefties' heads in just so many ways. And they just can't help themselves but attack us. I mean, this is just, I don't know what face I was pulling. As I said, the event was a year ago, but the look on my face is sort of one of, like, you know, what's going on here? But they've cast these sort of aspersions over it, and it's like, yeah, and? Like, I mean, it's, who are these people? Get a life.
I
was in bed at 1 o'clock this morning. I was not out putting tweets about someone from events a year ago.
Yeah, no, it's very easy. When I fly my drone, which I don't do very often because of all the limitations on it, I have this look on my face, and it looks like I've been lobotomized, and it's just frightening. I would never show myself flying my drone, you know, my mouth is agape. I've just got this look and I don't care what I look like. And it's funny, but if I ever go for a job at the ABC as a journalist, I'll use it as my profile pic, because the fact that I look like I'm lobotomized will probably get me over the line for a job. Again, don't respond to that. Now, vaccine vaccine mandates, they're still in place across Australia, especially, you know, in New South Wales, all but four councils. I mean, I've got a mate that's a garbage collector in Blacktown, in a truck by himself every morning for 5 or 6 hours, and he can't rock up to work unless he gets another jab. I mean, we've had our former Chief Medical Officer of Australia saying, look, we're no longer justified in having these. How do we fix this? How do we at a political level get these things reversed? Because even the WHO, for God's sake, has come on board and said it's over.
Yeah, well, I don't think, and I could be, someone will no doubt correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think there's any federal government mandates. All of them are driven at either local or state government level. I know in Queensland they've still got it with the police force. So the police have to be vaccinated, but the people they're arresting or the people that they're, you know, crowd controlling or whatever it is, they don't have to be. That's fine. I mean, it is just insanity that we're continuing on with this. Enough's enough. Personal choice. If you don't want to have any more, don't have any more. Like, I think I had three, and I had them at the time when, you know, that was the best defense we had, you know, when this virus was overtaking all our lives. I'm certainly not having any more. I think my last one was, I don't know, 18 months, 2 years ago. It's all sort of a bit of a blur with this COVID timeline. But I'm not racing out to get one every 6 months. I am under 50, I'll say that. But, you know, I'm not saying if someone wants to go and have them, they shouldn't, but it should be about choice. We need to move away from this mandating. We don't mandate flu shots. We don't mandate any other sort of immunisation. And so I don't think it should be mandated in any shape or form anymore. And I saw an article this week where there was a cardiologist.
Well, hang on.
Altogether.
Senator Holly Hughes, before you go on, the newsroom waits for no one. I have to go. But you talk about looks on faces. Imagine mine if you don't ever come back on my program again. I'll be devastated. I've got to go. I thank you. I've got about 3 seconds for coming on, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you.